The creator of the Leisure Suit Larry series is now selling a source code which he calls junk. Plus, just in time for Smash, Nintendo relaxes its sharing guidelines. Tonight is December 2nd, 2018, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
It's December. This year has just flown right on by, it seems. Seems like just last year I was signing my checks 2015. Remember checks? Hello, everybody, and welcome to a no-checks edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, here in the twilight of the radio station, welcome. Head on over to our chat room. It's at live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, and if you are logged into the site, you can check in and get some points on our December leaderboard, just like Sky and Fifth Dream. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show. Thank you so much for being here. If you're on the podcast feed, there will be a passphrase that rudely interrupts. You just put that in on the site, and you'll get the exact same amount of points and love. A little bit later on, I'm going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show. That is all one word. You can call toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can comment on an episode over at VogNetwork.com or on our Discord. Go to VogNetwork.com/Discord, and we actually have show-specific channels. So if there's something you think I should look at or cover, you go into the Bobby Blackwell Show channel, text channel, and comment there. And I will sometimes read comments, responses from there, as well as take articles that I want to talk about here on the show over there. So as I did say earlier, we're kind of in the twilight of the radio station here at Vogue Network. We started as an internet radio station back in 2012, and we are retiring the internet radio station now in 2018, 2019, because not enough people listen to it. And we've got some other ideas that we're going to look at. So, yes, we are going to be migrating our live shows away from internet radio and going to Twitch right now. I haven't talked to Rob recently, but it looks like maybe December 16th is still the date that we're kind of eyeballing as the first date over on Twitch.tv for our live shows on Sunday night for both myself and Orange Lounge Radio. That can obviously still change, but we hope to have some more information on that soon. So if you keep up on our Discord or follow me on Twitter and stuff, you'll see if that changes and if we stick around on the 16th. Over on internet radio. We're still going to have the radio station is still going to be ours for a little bit. So we do actually have some overlap and a backup solution for just a little bit, but not too long. Rob says, as long as we don't have any technical problems, he thinks that may still be a good date. So hopefully I'm not lying. But yeah, so yes, we're moving over to Twitch for the live shows this month. We announced this back at Dragon Con. We think this is going to be great for discoverability and participation. Hopefully we'll get some new faces around here. And this also does mean that you might be able to support the Voice of Geeks Network through once we get into the affiliate program over at Twitch with the main VOG Network account. So it's going to be on the VOG Network, VOG Network, account over at Twitch if you want to go ahead and follow it. And that way you'll get notified and get stuff when we actually start doing stuff. I may be doing a test stream or two on the account. I'm not sure. So you'd be able to get notified of that if that happens. But we do hope to move a lot of this stuff over and then do some stuff, do some neat stuff that we haven't been able to do before. So I was told by somebody else in podcasting that I am way late on the game on doing a video show, and I, you know, had to remind them that no, I was too early. I just, you know, everybody told me in 2009 and 2010 when I tried to do this the first time that I was an idiot, and so I believed them. And then Twitch got bought by Amazon 4 years later for like $2 billion. Not bitter about that at all. Another thing I'm not bitter about is that a new game came out from one of our listeners, one of our friends here at Vogue, YYR. He released a game, or he announced a game and released it last week that he had made before, but he had converted it over from what he had originally made it in, and has released it now on Steam. And it's an arcade game called Falling Plus. And it's an old retro style Commodore 64 style arcade game, and it's you're trying to break blocks that and it you get points if you get two blocks of the same color, and you're trying to break them as they fall down and not get squished. And then Mr. Walrus, who is my mortal enemy, shows up and tries to push blocks for you and stuff, and you want to kill him too. Because Mr. Walrus is not friendly. Even though I wanted to be his friend, he wanted to hug me with between two blocks, and it was not good. But he announced on Orange Lounge Radio that this was coming out, and then it came out. So it came out on Friday, November 30th, on Steam for $1.99. I played it on Twitch that night, which I will embed that video on this episode page for a very good reason. So I'm going to embed that video here on the page, and because I got to play it. I was number one in the world for a while. I was the best player in the entire world in hard mode of all places. So go me. That I believe that record has been broken many times over by now. But I haven't loaded it up to look, so I don't know that. The reason I'm kind of bringing this up is you can go to Steam and check it out. So what YYR did is he announced during OLR, which was before November 30th, and he said everybody in our chat room is going to get a code for this game, and that's how I was able to play it. So I played it using a free code. And essentially what he did, and I don't think he realized he did this, he went down the list to everybody that was in the chat room, every logged in account, and gave them a unique code. And which was hilarious, because in the middle of the week, some of the people that idle in our chat room, some of the names I still read, but they're not actually here during the shows, they actually were talking about, hey, why did I get this random message from this YYR with this code? Like, what the hell's going on? So I had to explain, you know, what had happened. And so they're like, oh, awesome, free game, cool. But I actually have two accounts in the chat room because I actually log in using a different IRC client, but I don't log out of my first IRC client when I do the show, something I won't have to worry about when we move to Twitch because we're not going to use IRC. So he actually sent me two codes, and I don't think he realizes he sent me two codes, but I have two distinct different codes, one that I used for myself and one that I plan on giving away here to one of my listeners. And what I'm actually probably going to do is I'm probably going to tell you because we can't, like, do it on social media because that's against social media guidelines. But I don't think there's anything wrong with me saying go to our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord. Go into the Bobby Blackwolf Show channel and basically state in there why you think I should give you my spare Falling Plus code. Do that, and because these episodes go up really, really late, this is going to go on for until December 16th. How about that? Because I know this podcast episode probably isn't going to go up for another, you know, 5 or 6 days. So you can do it there, and I'll choose, like, probably, you know, and I'll tell somebody and I'll send you the code, that the extra code that got sent to me because I had two different names in the chat room and he sent me two different codes. So I only need one of them, and the other one can go to one of you guys. So yeah. So you can go over into the Discord and state why I should give you, and you guys can fight each other for them. I don't know. This could be fun. Hunger Games. I don't know. Battle Royale. 100 versus 100. And it can be because you're awesome. That could be the only thing. And then I'll pick someone at random. Like, what? Unless you really, really have a good thing that makes me laugh, I'll most likely pick it at random. So check it out over on Steam. Check out the Twitch videos. Both myself and Rob streamed it on Twitch. I will embed mine into the episode page at vognetwork.com. You can see me play it and see me be terrible at it. and laugh at my misfortune, and then I can give you a code, and you can get a higher score than me and rub it in my face. Won't that be fun? To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Black Wolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase REPAIR. So let's go ahead and get into the news that's going on this week. And so obviously, it's kind of been a slow news week because, like, now we're just waiting on games to come out. And the games have come out. We've got, you know, obviously this week's going to be huge with Smash Bros. Ultimate and Katamari Damacy Reroll and the Sega Genesis Collection on the Switch. All these games people aren't going to be playing. Red Dead Online is going on right now. The beta for Red Dead Redemption 2, which somebody said is really just Barbie's Horse Adventures with mustaches and top hats or something like that. I don't know. Mustaches and guns. Because I guess that's what it's like. I haven't tried it. But apparently that's out there. Fallout 76, there's stuff about canvas bags and nylon bags and bags of bags, and we don't need to get into that stuff either. But what I am going to talk about is something that is near and dear to my heart, and something that I'm kind of wondering what's the real motive here and what's going on. And it's regarding old Sierra games. So I was raised as a Sierra fanboy. And the Sierra Adventure games, the Police Quest series, the Space Quest series. And, you know, when I was a kid, you know, today you have your Xbox versus PlayStation, and that's where you've got your really the really stupid fanboy wars where one is good and the other is evil, and one is great and the other must be destroyed. And anybody who likes the other thing is a terrible, terrible person. And you know what those are. And I'm not going to act like I was never like that. And I was. Except it was Sierra versus Lucasfilm Games. I thought that Lucasfilm Games or LucasArts, whatever they went into, they were terrible. There's no reason anybody would want to play a Monkey Island or a Day of the Tentacle or Maniac Mansion. No, it's all about the Sierra games. It was all about the Quest series. And that's why the Sierra games had a special place in my heart, because I hated Lucasfilm Games. I got over it. As I got older, as you do when you get older, you get over that kind of stuff. Trust me, you're supposed to get over that kind of stuff when you get older. But I wasn't. Al Lowe was the man who actually taught me the birds and the bees, because my dad didn't want to have that conversation with me, so he let me play Leisure Suit Larry, and I learned nothing from it. But that was the compromise. So I played Leisure Suit Larry when I probably shouldn't have, but my dad let me. Well, Al Lowe is the creator of it. He's retired. He is deciding to sell a lot of the stuff that he backed up because he knew Sierra wouldn't, because he thinks it's all junk and that nobody wants it. Ars Technica reports that Al Lowe, one of Sierra Online's seminal game creators and programmers, has been sitting on a pile of his original game source code for over 30 years, fully convinced that they are worthless. He said, quote, "I'm 72 years old and none of my kids want this junk," unquote. He said in an interview with YouTube personality Metal Jesus Rocks, who is himself an ex-Sierra developer and stuff. And he says, quote, "Does anybody," unquote. One thing I want to also point out is that on Facebook about Metal Jesus Rocks is that somebody on Facebook found me from I think he found me from some Commodore 64 stuff. I think he saw my video on the Commodore 64 Mini, and he was this friend of mine was a friend of mine back when we were actually on the Commodore 64. So back in the 80s, back when I was before I was born, because obviously I'm only 29 years old now. But he found me on Facebook, and I'm like, yeah, I'm the same person. So we got to talk, and he's like, "By the way, did you know that you look like a YouTube personality?" And I'm like, I hope so. I hope I look like myself. He's like, "No, you look like this Metal Jesus Rocks guy." And I'm like, "Well, I kind of hope I look like Bobby Blackwolf, but that's just me." So apparently, I look like this guy. Def says he was a LucasArts kid. I'm sorry, ActDef. I'm sorry that you were on the wrong side of the war there. Al Lowe, though, is about to find out if anybody wants his junk, because as the developer has begun posting eBay listings for his entire source code collection, the sales opening has been accompanied by a video from my YouTube doppelganger, apparently, who offers a 12-minute tour of backed-up files, original game boxes, original hint books, and more. So far he's listed auctions for the first two Legion Suit Larry games source code, and more code will follow, and like such as Stunning Treasure Troves, such as the other Legion Suit Larry games, King's Quest III, Police Quest I, and his games based on the Disney franchises Winnie the Pooh and the Black Cauldron. What's more, he also has original backups of his complete programming pipeline, including the Sierra utilities that converted plain text ASCII commands to interpreted code. When pressed about how curious users would peruse the disk files, he plainly responds, "It's a text file, put it in Notepad." He also confidently offers his opinion on the source code's collection rarity. He said, quote, "I backed everything up because I knew Sierra didn't," unquote. He also did clarify a couple things. He has not tested any of the discs, and second, owning the discs is not the same as owning the legal rights to freely or commercially distribute the contents. He says, quote, "Realize that while you'll have my data as of the day of Larry One's creation, you will not own the intellectual property rights to the game, the code, the art, or anything else. Nor do I. The IP rights were sold over and over again until they are now owned by a German game company," unquote. So there's also a rare boxed copy of A Gelfling Adventure, his Dark Crystal spinoff game that reused the first game's assets, and an original print floppy of Soft Porn. I'm stumbling over the words. I don't know why. A game that Lowe didn't work on but inspired him to make the Leisure Suit Larry series. As Lowe admits on eBay, he got this copy from Sierra co-founder Ken Williams himself to replace his own pirated version at the time. Original game boxes, art, and hint books are likely to follow as well. So they're up on eBay. I checked about an hour ago. Leisure Suit Larry 2 source code was over $9,000. And Leisure Suit Larry 1 source code was over $8,000. So, needless to say, these things aren't junk. He's also put up some other things that aren't going as swimmingly, but like he's put up like the master discs, so like the master floppies for some of these games. Those are in the hundreds. But there's a lot of people interested in this stuff. My big question is, why is he selling it? Because he said he was going to throw it away instead, because nobody wants this stuff. And there's a lot of stuff out there about game preservation. And there's a lot of museums that are doing a lot of game preservation things. And it's, you know, why isn't he donating to a gaming computer museum? Because these are very much historical artifacts. And I don't buy into the narrative of nobody wants this junk, does anybody? Because I met the man again a year ago. Not this year, but last year, he went to Dragon Con. And he was in rooms, panel speaking rooms, full of people that were interested in stuff like this. So, and Dungeon Buster says, Al didn't get the memo that there are museums like the ICHEG over at the Strong. I think he does. I think he does get the memo. I'm very surprised that he's never heard of this stuff before. Because he speaks at conventions about this stuff. ActF says, do I want Al Lowe's junk? If it was, I'm not going to spend $9,000 on source code discs. I'm sorry. But yes, I would love to look at he doesn't have the full source code to the engine, the SCI engine, which is the Sierra Creative Interpreter. What he has is all the scripts that the source code scripts that he wrote that were plugged into the SCI engine. So it's got its own scripting language and its own graphics files and stuff like that. So that's what he's actually selling. And Dungeon Buster also says, given the state of the disk, the data might not be readable, but will still make a nice collector's item since they're direct from someone that was actually a part of Sierra. And so that's the other thing. It's like, I don't even know who's buying this stuff. I did a little bit more digging, and there is a forum for SCI development because they've reverse engineered the Sierra Creative Interpreter. And one person said the highest bidder is the current rights holder. So there is a chance that it's actually the current rights holder, that whatever German game company owns the rights to the original Leisure Suit Larry games, they're the ones that are spending the money for it. There was a question about if he can sell it. He's not selling the IP. He's not selling the data on this. He's selling the discs themselves in his first sale doctrine. So he can actually sell the physical discs. That is not protected, but what people can do with it, that is what is protected. Also, I was looking around because I'm like, so why are we going to lose this source code? And it turns out we're not. So I had never really looked into the old Sierra programming community, which it's like a homebrew community, but for old Sierra games. And, you also see this Scum VM. Scum was LucasArts' less good version of game. I'm sorry, my inner year old is coming out. There's a whole community around preserving these titles and making games in these engines and stuff like that. And what I learned is that we already have the source code for the SCI and for like Leisure Suit Larry 2 and Leisure Suit Larry 3. We already have the source code because you can decompile them. And there has been a fan made. It's called SCI Companion. And what this is a recent, like it runs on current machines, and it's an IDE, an interactive development environment, for making the files that you can run in SCI. And so what they do is they take those resources. So if you remember on the old Sierra discs, if you ever look at them, you've got like resource.000 and resource.001 and .002 and stuff like that, which were on separate disks. They were broken up by whatever the floppy size was. Well, this SCI Companion can actually take those resource files and decompile them. So you can see all the scripts, and you can see all the icons and all the graphics and stuff, and you can even go in and change things up. You can, find Easter eggs. You can fix bugs and stuff like that. You can totally do that, and you can do that today. And so we don't necessarily need the source code because we already have it. The only thing it can't do is it uses placeholder names for some of the variables, because when it's compiled, they don't know what the variable names are. But some of the variable names and function names are actually preserved because they're global and they're stored in some other file. And that's, we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty of how the SCI interpreter works. But we already have some of this information. We already have some of this source code. And Al Lowe is not selling the source code to the SCI or AGI, which is what predated the adventure game interpreter, which is what they had before. He's not selling any of that code. He's just selling the scripts that went in and plugged into that code. And Dark Tetsuya does say that SCUM stands for Script Creation Utility for Maniac Mansion. That's probably what it is, yes. And Dungeonbus says, yep, SCUM was the backbone for LucasArts adventure games. Going forward from that, the emulator does a great job in bringing the classics back too. And I believe SCUM VM also emulates like AGI and SCI, which are the Sierra ones. AGI is the old, like, the AGI is what the original King's Quest and the original Space Quest and the original Police Quest were made in. The ones that only had EGA graphics and they only had, PC Squeaker. That's what AGI is. And then SCI was when they're like, oh, we can do EGA graphics and sound and stuff, because they didn't go to VGA yet. Then there was another version of SCI that actually had the VGA 256 color graphics. And that's when they went away from the text parser and stuff like that. So, yeah, yes. And Dunderbuss said there are more colors. Yes. That was they had a better color palette later on. And they could do more stuff. So, that's probably part of why this isn't like, I was like, why aren't you donating? Like, the source code would be valuable, it would be gold. And then I finally looked into it. I'm like, oh, we've had the source code for like decades now because we've decompiled it. It's still not exactly the same, but we have the source code. Like, that's not the problem anymore. It's not a barrier anymore. But I do kind of wish, he was donating it. I don't know why he's selling it, because I spoke to him. I didn't get to speak to him long. I maybe spent like 5 minutes in the celebrity petting zoo at Dragon Con because there was nobody in line, and he was more than willing to, sit there and talk to me rather than just sit there staring out at the people that were talking to other celebrities. And, I talked to him for a little bit and, in sitting in his panels. And he actually said he made so much money from royalties, because he was paid on royalties for all these games, that he retired early. So the man ain't hurting for money. So, you know, I'm, or at least that was kind of what he was saying. Now, maybe he was overstating things, but no, he retired like in his 50s. He had a very early retirement because he was able to. And I'm kind of wondering like what's going on. And as far as I know, he's not putting this money towards helping some of his former coworkers. Which he's not obligated to do, but there was another one. I don't have their names, but they used to work at Sierra. But their fires have been the big fire that's been going on in California actually destroyed their home this year. And so there's actually a GoFundMe out there for people to help them recover their home, rebuild basically, because they've lost everything. And you know, as far as I know, this ain't going toward that. So this is, I mean, and I. Like I said, there's no obligation to that. I will freely say that my favorite charity is me. And so, you know, I love it when people donate to my favorite charity, which is me. No, you can't donate to it. I'm not sure if he's not hurting for money. I'm not sure why he's trying to sell it. But there is a lot of interest. And like I said, they're up to $8,000 and $9,000. Good luck to you, Al, on that. Like I said, and nobody's asked him. No, like I don't think in that video anybody asked him, why aren't you sending this to a museum to be preserved? And so, I mean, I'd love to have the answer to that question. Because a lot of this stuff, like the source code discs specifically, I think, you know, having the actual source code and not decompiled source code, which is what we have right now, which might not be the same, I think that would be, and especially because the source code, his source code had comments in it. And he actually does say that he feels the comments are just as funny as the game. And the decompiler doesn't have comments. So I'd love to, I wish I could see it. I wish I could read the source code, but I'm not going to pay $9,000. So whoever is buying it is going to make the source code available so we can actually read it and learn from it. I'd love that. So let's talk about another company that, had some junk policies and now are kind of walking them back, and that's Nintendo. This is regarding you know, people who stream and people who are content creators, because that is now a huge part of the gaming marketplace now, and the gaming community now are content creators like yours truly, and you know, anybody that you watch on Twitch or anybody that you watch on YouTube. And Nintendo had a very draconian policy that they had put out about a year or so ago, where if you wanted to make videos, YouTube videos, and monetize them, you had to register with Nintendo and you had to follow all these guidelines, and you couldn't actually do anything else but Nintendo videos. Like, they basically said you can't have anything else on your channel but these Nintendo games. And it was called the Nintendo Creators Club. And it was not very popular. But it was their attempt to basically get part of the costs of, you know, because game developers work really hard on these games, and so they feel they want a cut of some of these other games. And then this week, when Smash Brothers Ultimate got leaked and everybody started posting music and everybody started posting gameplay videos and Nintendo was taking them down, they realized that they can't. They're going to be doing this because a lot of people who aren't members of the Creators Club are going to be doing this, and it's not really a good look. I think they finally figured out this isn't a good look. Nintendo has changed their sharing guidelines. I say they relaxed them a little bit. Fifth Dream in chat earlier said they haven't. But I think that this is a step in the right direction. So they actually posted something this week. Saying that they are humbled every day by your loyalty and passion for Nintendo's games, characters, and worlds, and respect that you want to be able to express yourself creatively by sharing your own original videos and images using content from our games. As long as you follow some basic rules, we will not object to your use of gameplay footage and or screenshots captured from games for which Nintendo owns the copyright or Nintendo game content in the content you create for appropriate video and image sharing sites. To help guide you, we have prepared the following guidelines. You may monetize your videos and channels using the monetization methods separately specified by Nintendo. Other forms of monetization of our intellectual property for commercial purposes are not permitted. We encourage you to create videos that include your creative input and commentary. Videos and images that contain mere copies of Nintendo game content without creative input or commentary are not permitted. You may, however, post gameplay videos and screenshots using Nintendo system features, such as the capture button on Nintendo Switch, without additional input or commentary. Well, thank you. We can use your own tools, and you're not going to get mad at us. That's good, because I did get a hit on my personal YouTube channel for uploading stuff from Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on the Wii U. I got a copyright strike for it, even though I used their personal... Well, I didn't get a copyright strike, but it got demonetized, because it used... even though it used their tools. Anyway, you are only permitted to use Nintendo game content that has been officially released or from promotional materials officially released by Nintendo, such as product trailers or Nintendo Directs. Hint, hint, that means you can't share Smash Bros. Ultimate right now because it's not December 7th yet. If you want to use the intellectual property of a third party, you are responsible for obtaining any necessary third-party permissions. You are not permitted to imply or state that your videos are officially affiliated with or sponsored by Nintendo. I think that's fair. And we reserve the right to remove any content that we believe is unlawful, infringing, inappropriate, or not in line with these guidelines. Which means if you basically are all you're doing is bashing it or, you know, doing something that upsets Nintendo, then they are probably going to still take it down. Please understand that we will not be able to respond to individual inquiries regarding these guidelines. Also, we may update these guidelines from time to time, so please refer to the latest version before sharing your content. Dark Tetsuya said, I do know that happens with Mario Kart 8. Every highlight reel I uploaded got flagged that way. Well, I mean, I don't have my content monetized anymore anyway, so I don't know if it would still get flagged. We got demonetized on YouTube. Kind of sad. And Dark to C also says, well, maybe they figured if they were still in the old guidelines, it would probably negatively affect people trying to do videos on Smash, since clearly YouTube is going to blow up after it's released. Clearly. So they do have a frequently asked questions section. Basically, they say what kind of content is acceptable and what kind of content is not acceptable. They say they encourage you to use the Nintendo game content in videos and images that feature your creative input and commentary. For example, Let's Play videos and video game reviews are within the scope. However, you may not simply upload or live stream an existing Nintendo video gameplay footage without your own creative input or a copy of content created by someone else. For example, mere copies of Nintendo promotional trailers, tournaments, music soundtracks, gameplay sequences, and art collections are outside the scope of the guidelines. So no, every full motion or every cutscene from Smash Ultimate's World of Light mode, no, that would not fall under these guidelines. They do say that the guidelines cover both video uploads and live streams. And what do they mean by appropriate video and image sharing websites? They say we generally accept most commonly used video and image sharing platforms such as, but not limited to, YouTube, Twitch, and Instagram. However, we reserve the right to remove any content that we believe is unlawful, infringing, inappropriate, or not in line with the guidelines, which means probably not Pornhub. They probably will not approve of your stuff on Pornhub. So what exactly are the monetization methods separately specified by Nintendo? So this is what they are. So this is where you are allowed to monetize Nintendo content. Facebook, such as Facebook Game Streamer and Facebook Level Up Program. The Nico Nico Duga and Nico Nico Live, which is the Nico Nico Creators Program. So I guess that's in Japan. OpenRec.tv, which is the OpenRec Creators Program. I don't know where that's based out of. The Twitch Affiliate and Partner Program. The Amplify Publisher Program on Twitter and the YouTube Partner Program. So that's where you can. So basically, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and then some services that are not here in the U.S. that I am not privy to. You can't sell content. You cannot sell any videos, music, or images that you created using Nintendo game content. So you can't sell a video you made using Nintendo Labo. This does mention, what if I record someone playing at an unreleased game at a public event, such as a gaming expo, and they do say that most public events have filming guidelines, and you're responsible for following those guidelines. Nothing new about that. That's always been the case, and I've always tried to get permission before filming any screen at an E3 or a PAX or a MAGFest or whatever, because there are times they don't want it filmed. That being said, I do have some tape somewhere of filming from across the hallway where they can't stop me, but that's how I have some, you know, like 15 seconds of StarCraft Ghost footage from an old E3 because I stood all the way at the other side of the in a different booth and just happened to be filming across the way and zoomed in on the screen of StarCraft Ghost. I have that somewhere. So there's also tournaments and, you know, talks. And they basically say that hosting a tournament is a separate activity that is outside the scope of the guidelines. And this is also, this says the guidelines, can corporate entities upload or live stream videos and screenshots using Nintendo game content? And they say the guidelines are only applicable to individual consumers using Nintendo game content. So what this actually means is that since the Voice of Geeks Network is actually a, we're an LLC, this actually doesn't apply to VOG Network. This applies to me. This applies to Rob. But it doesn't necessarily apply to VOG Network. Yeah, and they basically say examples of unlawful, infringing, or inappropriate content are stuff that violates applicable laws, infringes the intellectual property rights of Nintendo, and or features pirated Nintendo software, such as Smash Ultimate right now. And Tiger Claw says, so they removed the program that had strict guidelines by introducing even stricter guidelines. Actually, no. Because the program, the guidelines that they were before were, you can't do it unless we vet you, we put you in a specific program, and then you follow basically these exact same guidelines. Basically, what they've done is basically they're saying, okay, yeah, anybody can do it. But originally, the guideline was, no, you can't. You can't stream. You can't monetize any Nintendo content without us vetting you first and your entire channel. And your entire channel must be dedicated to Nintendo game content. You can't have anything from anybody else. And you know, so basically, they're stopping all the stuff that was. They're stopping the, we're going to demonetize every single person who uploads anything from Nintendo. They're stopping that. So it's kind of interesting that you think these are even more strict when the original guidelines were you just can't do it, period. And Tiger Law says, basically, Nintendo wants you to show their products in a positive light. They're okay with criticism. What they're not okay with is stuff that goes against the law. They're not okay with, you know, porn stuff, which, you know, neither the Tomb Raider developers aren't cool with that either. Dungeon Buster says, either you're in our club or you get nothing, and now it's no one is breaking down the doors to our club the way they are with Fortnite, so we're being nice now. And they're not necessarily trying to control how their products are shown. They're just trying to control. Basically what this is giving them real guidelines to take things down, like when Smash Ultimate leaks early to hackers. That's part of this, and then also realizing they can't police everybody anymore. That Smash Ultimate's getting too big, and they're not going to be able to police everybody, so why not just do this? So I think it's a step in the right direction. Some people in our chat room apparently disagree and think we should just go back to the old guidelines where Nintendo vets you, and then you can monetize content. But I know a lot of YouTubers who stopped covering Nintendo games because they covered a lot of things in the gaming industry, and they weren't eligible to join the Nintendo Creators Club, and now they're actually going to be able to make content off Nintendo properties, upload them, monetize them, and everything's going to be good. And Tiger Claw says, I'm sure there are Fortnite gameplay videos that are captured from a Switch. Nintendo was always, this was always about Nintendo's first party titles. This was not about every game on the Switch. And in fact, these guidelines don't cover Fortnite. They specifically state this is just for Nintendo games, first party games, and not third party games like Fortnite. So this doesn't cover Fortnite at all. So I am going to take a quick music break, and then we'll take a call or two and see what's on your mind, and we can talk about anything. It is December, so you know the gaming news season is ramping down, and all the gaming holiday releases are ramping up. So maybe there's something to talk about. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at FogNetwork.com.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Mexican, Act Deaf, and you're participating in the Bobby Blackwell Show. Whether he's right or wrong, his opinion is always something worth listening to. Except for the music critics. Those sometimes suck.
See, Act Deaf does not like our 8-bit Christmas that we play here on the live shows during December. I replace all my regular music breaks, and instead I play 8-bit holiday tunes. Mostly Christmas. I do believe there's some Hanukkah stuff in here, so I will probably play some Hanukkah stuff next week. And if you want to leave a bumper, I am still going to be using bumpers because I'm still going to have a break. I'm not going to talk for an hour straight when we move over to video. Just, you know, the midpoint might change a little bit, but I still want to do bumpers. So, if you want to leave a bumper, all you got to do is send me an MP3 to just your voice to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. I will put that in and put some music behind it, and it'll all be great. And ActF does say, for the record, I actually like the music that Black Wolf plays during the holidays mostly. I like the stuff. I like it, too. That's why I play it. I don't play stuff I hate in December. I play stuff I hate other times when chat is being really mean to me. If I feel like I need to get back at chat for something, then I play something I don't like. It's always because chat's being mean to me. Tiger Claw asks, if we're moving to Twitch, how about video bumpers? I am for that. I'm not going to be able to do those at first. Crawl and then run. You know, we're crawling first and then we're going to walk. So, but yes, eventually I want to have a video intro too. But the intro on Twitch is going to be the same one that I've been using for 5 years, and it's just going to be a static screen. Sorry. There's something that we did want to bring up and that we talked about here in the chat room. I'm going to go ahead and. So I'll go ahead and say this is that because some people were talking about, how this moved to Twitch for us, because it is going to be a video show and everybody's saying, well, you know, the great thing about Twitch is that it archives your video. And we're going to go ahead and kind of mention this now. I was going to hold on to it and save it for a bit because the podcast that we're doing here that you listen to, if you download this audio podcast, it's actually an edited version of the show. It's not the same. There's a lot of dead air that I remove out of. That's why it takes so long to come out. So it's actually an edited version of the show, and this is not going to change. So this is this podcast going to be here at the same feed. You're going to get it at the same time, hopefully a little bit earlier. I don't know. But, it's still going to be the same show, audio, all that stuff. And it's going to be the edited. It's going to be the nice version that you listen to in the car. But everybody's like, well, Twitch, the great thing about Twitch is that it automatically archives the video, so you can go back the next day and watch the video if you miss it. And they're like, yeah, so that's what you're going to do. And we've been kind of saying, well, no, not exactly. And what I'm going to go ahead and mention how we're going to actually – how we're planning on doing that. Once we hit the affiliate on Twitch, which is probably going to take a month or two. So you're going to get – first hit's going to be free. We are actually going to be locking the VOG Network Twitch channels, VODs, so all the highlights, all the past broadcasts and stuff. We're actually going to lock them behind subscriber gates. So you can use Amazon Prime and use your free subscription on the VOG Network channel once we get it. That's perfectly fine. Or you actually subscribe monthly. And then you will get access to the VODs, the video on demands, as long as they don't get muted. Because that's the thing about the music break. That's how we got on this topic, is the music break. They mute 15 minutes if they realize you played something that you shouldn't. They basically mute 15 minutes of your video, which is 25% of the show, of my show at least. So we kind of want to avoid that. If we just kind of want to go ahead and get that out there. The podcast is still 100% free. So 100% free for the podcast, audio podcast. If you're listening to the audio podcast, nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. We're just gating the new stuff. That's all we're gating. So I hope you're okay with that. I'm going to go with just in case. I'm going to open up the phone lines real quick. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Might get rid of the toll-free number as well. So the toll-free number might be going away too. I'm going to see if anybody wants to give us a call. I'll give about a minute or two. See if anybody's want to call in and talk about something. But, I mean, I figured next week's going to be the big week because, you know, everybody's going to have been playing Smash Ultimate. And given their thoughts on that, I am looking forward to trying it. I've got my copy ordered. Going to go pick it up in my local Best Buy. And because I have the Gamers Club Ultimate, the Best Buy thing, until 2020, so I might as well use it and get that discount for like a year and a half now. Because I think I got it for 2 years. So that was good of me. I was smart and did that. So looks like nobody's going to be calling in, which is fine. I did kind of ramble on. So coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And it's December, so let's check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Happy Halloween. Happy Christmas. And happy Hanukkah.
Halloween.
This is Halloween. There's a whole movie about that.
I'm stuck in Nightmare Before Christmas mode. But happy all the holidays, Bobby.
Yes, happy December. Happy 5 days before Smash Day.
That's right. I know that's a holiday a lot of people are looking forward to. Is the
every big, day is Smash Day.
Big release of Smash Brothers for sure.
So, what are you thinking about? Like, so I was reading a lot about the Nintendo Creators Club, and I know you guys had a lot to say about, you know, them vetting people and stuff. Like, so do you think this is, some people in chat are saying these are more strict guidelines than they had before. What do you guys think about it?
No, I don't think I agree with that, because I kind of think this just falls in the category of, oh, Nintendo finally figured out you can't police the entirety of the internet. I mean, let alone just YouTube, but you kind of really illustrated the point when you read off all of these various websites that do provide, you know, video streaming for various games, and some of them you hadn't even really heard of because they're primarily in other countries, you know, especially like Nico Nico, we don't really use here in America, but in Japan, like it is, you know, it is, that is where Square Enix does their Final Fantasy 14 streams, is on Nico Nico. So it's, you know, a very big presence over there. So I think Nintendo finally realized they really can't police the entirety of the internet. And I think, I honestly think kind of some of the, I think some of the feedback and some of the people cutting back on how they were covering Nintendo, I think it may have worked in a way. And I think finally somebody brought it to a boardroom that this isn't really a decision that's helping our company. And so they modified it to something that honestly to me does not sound all that different from peer companies. Let us not forget, Sony and Microsoft do have their own guidelines. It's not the wild, wild west out there, unless you're playing Red Redemption 2. But you know what I mean.
Speaking of that, did I just realized, because I was like, wait a minute, and when you were saying that, do you want to know one thing I see is not listed as an acceptable site?
What's that?
Mixer.
Oh, interesting.
They do not list Mixer.
I did not even catch that.
They just forgot it exists.
Yeah, man, to be fair.
I don't think they listed every site. I think they just kind of like, here's the popular sites.
Loki may be onto something. Yeah. I hate to shade Microsoft here.
I didn't see
here.
Pornhub on there.
Well, it's that's true. Where they're going to remove things from.
Yeah, I mean, I know that Loki is sometimes a little shady, but I actually think he might be onto something. I don't think Mixer is really known for non-Microsoft and non-PC stuff. Yes, I am well aware it happens, but it's really the minority of what is streamed on there.
And besides, Twitch's affiliate program is a lot better.
So far, yeah, it is. I know Mixer has been trying to make some moves to try to make it a little more attractive over there, but we'll see.
But I also will say, you know, to your point about people stop covering it, I do know, if you remember Victor Lucas...
Sure.
From the Electric Playground. Well, unfortunately, they're no longer on television, but he is still completely, like, he's all in on YouTube TV.
Oh, okay.
But the Electric Playground basically stopped covering Nintendo.
Oh, wow.
And he was one of the, you know, the biggest, you know, Reggie Fils-Aimé was on Electric Playground a lot. Like, he was one of the big things. But because he's not on television and because he's on YouTube, he told his reps at Nintendo Canada, the PR reps, I can't cover your stuff. I'm not allowed to cover your games anymore. And so he basically stopped covering Nintendo, and he actually announced this week, I can now start covering Nintendo games again. But they weren't even reviewing Nintendo games.
Wow.
Because they couldn't. I mean, they reviewed third-party titles, but like first-party Nintendo games, they were like, we can't cover it. We can't, you know, we violate the guidelines, and they're not eligible. They weren't eligible for the Creators Club because the Nintendo Creators Club are only for channels that are Nintendo specific.
Yeah. Well, good for him putting his foot down in a way on that whole issue. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's stuff like that finally, you know, gave Nintendo the data they needed in that boardroom of people who are not quite as aware of this stuff. Because let's be real, every bad decision that's made in the gaming industry is in a boardroom where people don't know games the way the gaming fans know games. I think it gave them the metrics they needed to say, maybe we should just kind of copy what Sony and Microsoft are doing.
Yeah, because these are like, because I remember covering Microsoft sharing guidelines, and they're a lot like this. And even like Square Enix, like, because I've been playing the Kingdom Hearts, the PS4 remasters and stuff, and they have this big button. They're like sharing guidelines, and it's basically this. It's like your commentary, you know, make it yours, but don't just like broadcast the music.
Yeah, especially the music in the Square Enix case. It's a huge one.
Well, and also I think for Smash Ultimate, it's going to be the music. Like, that's the big. That was the big thing I saw that was being leaked early, more than gameplay footage. And that's what they shut down.
And have you seen that track list? Oh my gosh, it's gigantic. I mean, I don't really think that's a spoiler because every Smash Brothers had a gigantic track list of music, but in this new one, my gosh,
they announced how many tracks that they're having.
Did they?
Yeah, they announced that a while back.
Okay, it's still stunning to see it written out. It's pretty stunning.
Yeah, I want the soundtrack more than I want the game. I know that's like a heathenistic thing to say.
I know.
But like, I mean, yeah, I mean, I wish. And yes, I know, like, the Switch, you can put it in portable mode, and it's like an MP3 player, but I'm like, I want it, like, in my car when I'm driving.
Super Smash Jukebox.
That's right. There's an app for that.
You won't be able to stream to your phone, despite the fact that they're going to use that for, you know, wireless communication stuff, like talking to people. But as far as playback of music, sorry, that's not going to be compatible.
Oh, through the Nintendo app. Right. Yes. Yeah, wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't that be lovely?
Well, but you all have phones, don't you?
That line's never going to go away. It's pretty brilliant.
No. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight? You hear, you know, what, the penultimate internet radio version of Orange Lounge Radio?
I'm hoping. The new computer is on the way, and it's going to be arriving on the 10th, I think. So that gives me 6 days to throw it all together. So I just have to make sure there's no hardware conflict or anything. Like, you know, things are just going to get in the way of what ideally in my head this is all going to look like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's looking good. I mean, otherwise, we did get another piece of the equation this week. Obviously, you're not going to hear it tonight. We don't sound any different. We're not going to flip over to this until we make the move to Twitch. We don't have an all digital mixing board. It's USB. So that's going to be a change.
I actually have one of those, too, and I haven't started using it yet, but I've got it. I've actually, sometimes if you see me stream, I think when I did the Commodore 64 stream, I was actually using my new digital mixing board.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So I'm already kind of starting to use some of my stuff, but not for this yet.
It'll be like a cute new coat of paint for the same old moldy shows you've been listening to for years.
Yep.
Paint over that mold.
So, all right. So, yeah, so what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
There's a lot going on with Fallout 76. I'm sure you've heard about this.
All good things. All good things.
All great things on Fallout 76, let me tell you. But there's really, man, I try to be the type of person that really tries to, you know, be like, you know, gaming mobs, sometimes you really, like, overdo it. You're too dramatic with a lot of these gaming companies and their decisions. But I got to say, Bethesda made a decision this week that I can't defend. Like, I got nothing. Like, gamers are mad, and they have every right. So we're going to get into that. And your favorite, Bobby Black Wolf, rumors.
Oh, God.
You know, that's what happens on Slow News Weeks. But we got some rumors about what might be announced at the Game Awards. So we'll talk about that.
You know, rumors by Fleetwood Mac still holds up to this day. That's what I'm going to say about rumors.
That is an amazing album. I agree with you, Bobby Black Wolf. In the sense of the holiday spirit, we agree on something.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back here on the Voice of Geeks Network Internet Radio Station next week, probably for the last time. Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic or leave a bumper if you send the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, which will probably go away pretty soon. So, or just email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf is where I am. Or you can submit feedback on the episode pages at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. I know the show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much. Dark Titsia, DC Nate, Ronma, Fifth Dream, Tiger Claw, Act Deft, Alt, Bob Coffee, Bull, Bonds 006, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Erratic, Fluke, JD, Kaijudo, Ellum Orchard, Loki, Orange Wright, Rack Hat, Raginator, Rob Roberts, Spiffy, and Vid Power. That's it for me. Enjoy. Happy smashing on Friday, or happy rolling if you're going to play Katamari Damacy Reroll like I will. Maybe that's what I'll stream Friday night when everybody else is playing Smash. I'm going to have Katamari Damacy and have zero viewers on Twitch. It's going to be great. See ya. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Black Wolf Studios.